We're all familiar with silent comedy stars like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, Harold Lloyd. But from tomorrow through March 30th, you'll have a rare opportunity to get to know some early European silent film stars you've probably never heard of, like Max Linder, Marcel Perez, and Cunegonde. That's because the Museum of Modern Art is screening part three of its Cruel and Unusual comedy series, which features selections from the I Film Institute in the Netherlands. And I'm very pleased that it has brought us their archivist, Elif Rungan Kanachi, and also returning to our show, film historian Steve Massa, who helped curate the series. Hello.
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 Elif, just how popular are silent films in Europe? Do people, it's really hard to get people to watch them here.
Oh, it's the same in Europe, actually. Yeah, these films are practically forgotten in Europe as well.
And they're not in color, which makes it even more difficult.
Oh, I would disagree with that, actually. In our case, our prints are in color. It's monocolor, they're tinted. Mm-hmm. And we always, you know, pay a lot of attention to restore the colors.
So there are film societies that will show films like this. Is I one of them? Do you regularly screen these kinds of films?
Yeah, we do have our theaters, yeah.
The title of the series is Cruel and Unusual Comedies. Isn't there always a cruel element to comedy?
Well, that's sort of, yes. That's why we pick the theme.
We laugh when people fall, slip on a banana.
Yeah, yeah. It's always cruel. And if you look at the films today, there's always something that is politically incorrect by our standards today, but that was regular fodder for these films.
How do European comedies compare with what we're familiar with here? Is the European version of slapstick all that different from what the things that were being done in this country?
Well, it does slightly predate. So they're almost, in a way, blueprints for what was going to follow, and they were very influential. This is what the American screen clowns were seeing. You know, Max Sennett was very influenced by the French films that he saw.
And actually some of them really, like, came over from Europe and,
some of the
in
comedians.
A way, established part of the American...
And, yes. You know, often a lot of the films end with a big chase, and you can see Max Sennett took that. There are always a lot of comedy cops, and he also took that as well for the Keystone Cops.
And language isn't a problem. So is it difficult at times, if you don't know who these people are, to tell the difference between a Euro clown and an American one?
Well, there are differences. They tend to be a little more risque. You know, they deal with themes that the American films didn't really deal with, like infidelity and things like that. But they deal in a very sophisticated French kind of way.
And also the setting. I mean, especially like in French films, you will always see the streets of Paris and so on. So at least for us Europeans, it's very recognizable. And for us, the American ones are also recognizable as being very American in a way with these, you know, Hollywood settings.
Well, though, in the early days, it was New York and the environs as well as Hollywood.
That's true.
But New York at that time wasn't as distinctive as Paris was. But some of these films are also from Germany, Italy.
Yeah.
Where else?
No, in fact, we have a lot of Italian films. Italy was one of the big film-producing countries at that time, you know, back then around 1910 particularly. And they had, you know, very famous, internationally successful comedians.
And were there national styles? You mentioned the French films were more likely to be a little risque. But did the Italians find things funny differently than the Germans? Did the Germans find anything funny?
I'm
going to get angry mail now.
What I notice is that tomorrow's show, for example, is about science fiction films. And I noticed that there are a lot of German films in that show. So apparently they claimed the science fiction genre of comedy.
Yeah, they seemed to
even
be
before Metropolis.
Even before.
Exactly.
So it was already happening. Another interesting thing, talking about seeing the streets of Paris, is that you're seeing pre-World War I Paris in Italy. And a lot of this would change with the war and never be quite the same again.
So can you tell us, Elif, a bit about some of these stars like Zigoto, Bebe, Onassis, Little Moritz, Robinet, Max?
Yes. These were all, you know, big celebrities of their time. They were immediately recognizable.
Here as well as in Europe?
They were popular here, particularly Max Linder was very popular. He actually came over here later and worked here.
But in Europe, I mean, apparently these were very recognizable characters, and they had these on-stage, you know, names, and people would know them. And in fact, in the newspapers, you will see like a new adventure of Onesim and so on, whereas the actor himself is not really called Onesim. And the other thing, the proof, actually the evidence of their popularity is that our prints at iFilm Institute, they come from a Dutch distributing company called Desmet Collection for us. And so this is actually evidence to their popularity in the Netherlands. Netherlands being a, you know, almost a marginal country, if you like, in Europe, they were apparently watching and enjoying these French, Italian, German films a lot.
Did these people start off as theater and vaudeville stars, as the Americans did?
Yeah, they came from circuses and the French and Italian music halls.
Well, the Americans, most of them also directed their own films. Was that true for the Europeans as
well? Yeah, I think it's the same. These are more or less, you know, still pioneering people of cinema, so they go into it and they do everything. They just explore all the possibilities, actually.
So let's talk a bit about this collection that you mentioned, the Dutch film distributor Jean Desmet. How big is the collection?
The collection, as we received it and as we have it today, it's more than 900 films, actually, and all from 1908 to 1917, roughly, when he stopped basically being a film distributor. And he held on to his films ever since. Although he was not active anymore, he just kept the films. And shortly, like within the year after his death in 1957, the collection was donated by his family. So we have all these films.
Well, I'm not sure I understand. The films would come to be shown in the Netherlands, and then I would assume it was expected that they would then be shipped off to Denmark or some other place. Mm. He was just holding on to them? Was that a kind of theft?
No. Back then, the business was different. Actually, you bought the film print. And, you know, it was not like now, because now you're supposed to license, as it were, the film. But there you bought the physical print, and it was yours.
And that's one of the reasons, Steve, that we some of the great rarities pop up from all over the world, from
South Africa
or
Russia, the Soviet Union, Czechoslovakia. There are tons of American comedies or American dramatic films, silent films that have turned up all over the world.
One of the nice things about Desmet's collection is that he also kept promotional materials.
Yeah, he kept everything. He was, you know, obsessively not throwing away anything. So he kept the bills, he kept the books. We can see how much money he charged theaters to show his films. And we have wonderful posters, for example, for all kinds of films. And now, today, they have become, of course, unique because nobody else has them.
Were the posters specific to the Netherlands, or would they have been the same posters in Dutch that we would have seen in French and France?
No, actually, they are original posters. Sometimes, for example, American films, actually, they have like different languages. On one and same poster, you have like the French and Italian title of an American film. So this is apparently for European distribution. And then he would paste on it the Dutch title as well. So sometimes they're a bit, you know, mangled with. But anyway, in most cases, we have the original title.
Well, you said posters. There are 900 or so films there. I would assume a fair number of them were from America.
Quite a number of them. Although the majority of the films are French. And then, you know, I think Italian and United States.
Yeah. My guests are Elif Ranjan Kainachi. Did I say it right? No,
yes.
Well, close enough anyway. She's the archivist for the iFilm Institute, formerly known as the Netherlands Film Museum. And also with us is Steve Masser, who's a film historian. And we're talking about Cruel and Unusual Comedy Part 3, this one focusing on European films and their selections from the iFilm Institute of the Netherlands. It's running through March 30th at the Museum of Modern Art. And you can find out all about screenings on our show page at WNYC.org. You mentioned that tomorrow they'll be showing science fiction films?
Yeah, that's the theme for one of the programs tomorrow. With some, you know, it's kind of a loose But it has science.
But they were predicting the future, weren't they?
In some cases,
Cases, yes. And in other cases, you could call it like the crazy inventor type of
yes.
films.
Well, there are love doctors who produce men on order for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pop out of little canisters. They open the canisters and these sort of muscle men pop out of the canisters.
But there also are inventors who use video telephones to spy on their girlfriends. And that's something
that's
quite possible today.
That is actually one of my, you know, favorite films of all times. That's Amour et Science. It's a French film showing something like a prototype of a video telephone and its potential dangers.
How many predictions seem to have panned out, or are they more likely to be of the fanciful sort, the time machine kinds of films?
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch it, you say, oh, gee, how did they predicted that?
This one really is similar to something like Skype.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Mass Destruction is tomorrow's 7:30 screening. What constitutes mass destruction in
that film? There's a very strong theme in these films. And again, this is very much a blueprint for the American comedy. So the one I can think of is there's a film with the character Polycarp, and he's sent to a construction site. That's the basic plot. But, of course, everything is completely, totally wrecked. It's like Jerry Lewis, you know. It's that kind of just setting the comedian loose and see what he can destroy, basically.
But we have a range of world disaster to more mundane matters like hijacked locomotives, mm-hmm. pet monkeys gone amok.
Yep, exactly.
In the case of Paris, it was obvious where they were shot. Were there certain other popular locations?
Depending on where the companies are situated, obviously. So in the case of Italy, for example, you have Torino as one of the beautiful backdrops for some of these films coming from Ambrosio Studio, for example. And, of course, the German films are often done in Berlin, for mm-hmm. example. Also in France, the second most important place was Nice, the seaside.
Well, that's probably for the same reason that Hollywood became popular. You had a lot of sun.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that these are not the places that became, except for Berlin, where the film industries continued to thrive. So, but are the companies that made these films the same companies that later became the big ones?
Well, there are two that are still, Pathé and Gaumont, and mm-hmm. they're still in existence today. Mm-hmm.
The Italians, however, they were really bettered by the First World War, so I think they didn't survive the
No, they
first
didn't survive. And there were other French studios like Lux and Eclair and Eclipse, which have been long gone. And they were sort of done in by World War I as well.
Mm-hmm. And then World War II, I'm sure, got rid of some of the other German companies.
And Gaumont and Pathé had very strong worldwide distribution. And I think that really helped them during the First World War.
This year's Oscar winner, The Artist, was a French take on Hollywood film Silence. Can we spot its European origins, do you think?
I mean, I love The Artist, actually, and I'm almost proud as a European to see The Artist doing so well all around the world. And yeah, I mean, when I watch the film, I can spot many, many things, and I can tell that the people who made The Artist, they have been watching all kinds of things. Yeah.
European as well.
Mm-hmm. As well, yeah.
One of the categories in the series is musical comedy, but we're talking about silent films.
Well, interesting. The musicians, for instance, there's a film that stars Polydor, and there's a singer who wants to sing, but he can't sing. So Polydor plays a record, and the singer mimes to the recording. And, of course, that was used by the Three Stooges. I mean, so it's that kind of using musical motifs, even in silent films, people playing musicians or playing music.
And let's not forget that these films were always shown with some kind of music in the theater back then as well. So I'm not sure exactly how it was done, but there was, of course, lots of possibilities to play around with this, you know, musical themes.
What condition were the films in when they were found?
Well, in the case of the Smith collection, as I said before, we're lucky because the family gave it to the film museum immediately. And these films were kept for a long time, you know, in one place. So they're in good condition. They're exceptionally complete, actually.
So there's not as much restoration necessary as we've had you're kind of not so sure.
There was some decay, still of silver course, nitrate. You know, exactly. It's nitrate, and it shows, you know, like wear and tear because of time. But in terms of completeness, for example, they're exceptionally complete.
Are any of them available in DVD?
They often get used in different compilation DVDs, especially in Europe. So, yeah, some of them are on websites, some of them are on specially, you know, curated DVDs.
Was that a Desmet that was in Hugo?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, in Hugo we have a Méliès.
There was a Méliès clip from the iFilm in Hugo.
What about the intertitles?
The intertitles in most cases are in Dutch because these prints, you know, were for Dutch distribution, so they were meant for the Dutch audiences, so we have them in Dutch.
And if you'll be introducing both of tomorrow's programs?
Yes.
What are they again?
Tomorrow, the first show is what we call the science fiction and what I personally like to call the crazy inventors. And the second one is the mass destruction, which is, again, you know, one of the greatest themes when you look at silent comedy.
Now, you mentioned the intertitles will be in Dutch, but there are translations, I assume.
And I'll be in the projection booth on a microphone reading the English, which we did last night.
And then there'll be a live musical accompaniment?
Yes, of course, Ben Modell. And I think
who's been on our show a number of times.
And Donald Sosin will also be playing in different programs.
How did you get involved with I?
Well, Elif and I have been friends for...
At least 10 years.
10 years. It started... They have a great deal of American silent comedies that are unidentified. And we connected, and I've been helping them identify some of the unidentified American silent comedies.
Yes, exactly. Steve has been very helpful over the years, you know, helping out to identifying these American comedies. But we've been in a, you know, conversation ever since, actually, talking about these different things. And we've been moving to European comedies eventually. Yeah.
Were they thought to have been lost totally?
Oh, yes.
Well, you'll have a chance to see them, and now through the 30th, Cruel and Unusual Comedy, Part 3, Selections from the iFilm Institute, the Netherlands. Starting tomorrow, Elif Rangan-Kenachi, the archivist for the iFilm Institute, will be introducing them. And my great thanks to her, along with film historian Steve Massa, for being on our show today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.